Let's bow our heads and hearts and pray together before we look at that scripture that's just been read to us. Father God, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth and truth eternal and truth for us in our day and generation. Lord, we thank you that we live in a society where we can read it freely, proclaim it, speak it out. And we know there are many parts of this world where those freedoms do not pertain. Lord, in our lands, we have those freedoms, and we thank you. But Lord, we know that if this word is to impact our hearts, we need more than just the chance to read it. We need more than the preparations of a preacher or the thoughts of a congregation. Lord, we believe that your Holy Spirit is the true and divine teacher. He is the one who takes your word and applies it into our hearts. And we pray for his presence now to touch the lips of he who speaks and touch the ears and hearts of those that listen, that amongst us in that wonderful way we may sense that God is speaking. And Lord, through the working of your Spirit and through your great grace, as each of us needs, may you speak into our hearts. We pray together in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, it's great to be here. I'm going to try and bring 7 points to you in about 20 minutes. So pray for me. We're looking in Acts 13, which is a sort of pivot point in the history of the New Testament. Here is the beginnings of Paul's great missionary journeys, which, as you know, began to transform the Mediterranean world. And it starts here in Acts 13, out of the church in Antioch. And this tiny passage, the 5 verses that begin Acts 13, actually are filled with vital principles about the church and mission. I suggest some to you. And the first is this, and they're all similar headings: united, not uniform. Have a look at verse 1. This has nothing to do with Manchester United, by the way. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Many, many differences amongst this leadership group of 5. There were differences in gift and in role, differences in personal background, in ethnicity, in education. Let me give you some instances. There were prophets and teachers. Often those gifts challenge each other. The teacher is conveying that which is established teaching. The prophet is coming in speaking something more pertinent and more for the now, for the moment. Often there can be tensions there. And there are tensions amongst the people potentially. Barnabas is a Levite from Cyprus. Simeon, called Niger, is a black man from northern Africa. In some of the old and less politically correct translations in England, he is called Simeon the Black. Lucius of Cyrene is also dark-skinned from North Africa. Manaen is an interesting guy, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. Brought up means educated with. There was a system in those days when the sons of the gentry would have sort of partner children to be educated and befriended, so that as they made their way through education, there would be someone who would be with them all of the time. So Manaen, brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, has had an incredibly privileged background and education. And then, of course, there is Saul, the Pharisee of the Pharisees, the rabbi who was educated under Gamaliel. They all seem so different in many ways. And yet there is unity because they are Christian people. They belong to Christ Jesus, the bond of the Spirit of God has brought them together. There is unity because they are all together seeking God. There is unity because their heart's desire is for God's kingdom purposes, for themselves and this embryonic growing church in Antioch. There is unity amongst this very different, very distinct group of people. These people are united but not uniform. And I think that's a great principle for the church. You don't all have to be like Peter, you know? You don't all have to be like me. You don't all, we're all different. And God uses us in our differences together to be the body of Christ. And together as different people with different skills, different abilities, different tasks, we can fulfill the work of Jesus in the church here and in the world outside. So don't try to be somebody else. Be what God wants you to be, okay? United but not uniform. The second thought comes out of verses 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit speaks. Verse 3, so they fasted and they prayed and they sent off Paul and Barnabas. The atmosphere of these verses is of a leadership seeking God. And not just tokenly praying, but seriously seeking God. Here are people who are meeting together consciously to worship, to fast, to pray, and to seek God, to know God's purposes for them. This is fundamental principle, isn't it, for leaders of churches? It's fundamental for members of churches. And yet how difficult to exercise. In the busyness of life, do we really find time to pray? In seeking to serve God, do we actually sometimes get so involved in the doing that we lose the connection of the being with Him? I think it's very challenging that not only does this passage tell us something about the priority of prayer, but it also reminds us that the great missionary journeys of St. Paul that transformed that Mediterranean world began in prayer. And it seems to me that we need to remind ourselves that prayer is absolutely foundational to the growth of God's kingdom. The third heading, hearing from heaven. Look at verse 2. While they were fasting, the Lord said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Hearing from heaven. This group of leaders have a sense of what God wants them to do. And as I look at the words, I somehow feel that God has already given an indication of this work. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. I think there is a sense that God has spoken about Paul and Barnabas going out from this church in Antioch in the past. And what God is saying now is the time for these two to be set apart and to be sent out. That may or may not be. But the important thing is here is a church that is understanding of what God wants of them. And the truth is that we all need that. Any individual church cannot do every possible thing that would be good for the growth of God's kingdom. But each church needs to do that which God has ordained it to do in order that it makes a contribution to the wider work of the kingdom. So it is vital, therefore, that we have a sense, what is our particular call? When I first started in football chaplaincy work, the elders and deacons and leaders of the church and the congregation were very affirming that I should be given a day and a half of my time as the minister to work out there in the wider world, which in this instance was the football club at Watford northwest London. Interesting. That's a quarter of my time. A quarter of my time. When I was the senior minister of the church, the people said, we still think this is important. This is God's called ministry for you. We still want you to continue with that, even though you have all the responsibilities of senior minister. Now, we couldn't do that and do work with business people in the town centre and work with down and outs and work with school kids in the local schools and work with this, that and the other. We couldn't do all of it. But we had a sense of the particular stuff that God wanted us to do. Friends, we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from heaven. In verse 2, the church in Antioch heard what God wanted them to do and simply did it. Let's move on. Verse 3. So they pray, they fast, they're sure that this is what God is asking. And so they place their hands on them and they send them off. My fourth heading, significance of sacrifice. Paul and Barnabas are sent off. But these two are vital in the life of the church in Antioch. If you turn back a page or two, perhaps, in Acts chapter 11, we read of the beginnings of this church in Antioch. Interestingly, it actually goes back to the persecution where Stephen is martyred. And the church is scattered and people travel a long way. And some of them even reach Antioch. And there they speak about Jesus and other people become believers and the church is established. And in Acts 11:22, news reaches Jerusalem that this is happening. So they send Barnabas to help the church there. And Barnabas has a fundamental role in building the foundations of this church. But he realizes that he needs a teacher, although his skills are mainly pastoral. So he goes to Tarsus, he finds Saul, and he brings him to Antioch. That's Acts 11 and 25. And they lead the church, and many people come to faith, and the church grows in number. That's verse 26 of Acts 11. And later on, they take gifts to the church in Jerusalem, and they do it together. That's verse 30 in Acts chapter 11. And when they return, they bring John Mark with them. That's the last verse of chapter 12. And here in chapter 13, Saul and Barnabas are with other leaders, leading the church nearer to God with a greater understanding of God's will for them. Paul and Barnabas are key people, and yet they are readily sent off from the church to do mission outside it. You know, it's easy to send out people who are problematic. You know, you've got George in your congregation who is an absolute pain. This is not a prophetic word, by the way. If your name is George, don't feel got at. Just imagine, you've got George in your church who's an absolute pain, and the senior minister is praying, Lord, you know, please send George to missionary work in Hawaii or Samoa, because it would help us so much if he were working elsewhere, you know? But Antioch is not sending out a George. It's sending out Barnabas and Saul, who have had a fundamental role in establishing and building the church. Why are they doing that? Do you know what? I think it's a wonderful, wonderful attitude in this church. They do it because the church of Antioch is not their prime focus. Their prime focus is the kingdom of God. And if your prime focus is the kingdom of God, your particular need become subservient to the greater need of God's kingdom. And here is a key principle that the church in Antioch gave their best to God. They were willing to give their best guys to go out from the church and do work beyond the boundaries because what is important is not their church, but the kingdom of God. The significance of sacrifice. And friends, that's true for us. We also need to give our best to God, our time, our talents, our funds. Churches need to give their best people to God. Because if God is supreme, and he is, he deserves our very best. The church in Antioch demonstrate that. Let's move on. Verse 4, the breaking of boundaries. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. Friends, these are pioneers. They are familiar with the boundaries around Antioch. They are familiar with the work of the church in the Antioch area. But now they are pioneering. Now they are doing new stuff. And they're very dependent on God as they do new stuff. There isn't a book, How to Do Paul's Missionary Journeys, that they can follow, you know? They are just being led by God, and they're feeling their way with God. And they don't always know what is three steps ahead or two steps ahead. Some of the time, they're sure what is the next step. But they're feeling their way forward. They are truly pioneering. But here is a church and a people who are willing to pioneer, to do new things. I think that's very important. I don't know what it's like over here, but in England, often the church does things because it did them last year. It did them the previous decade. Well, we've always done them. We have a phrase that the groove can become a grave. And it seems to me that God is creative. God is a God of new things. God is a God of creativity. That doesn't mean we dump everything that we inherit from the past. I think tradition is significant and past ministry is significant if God wants us to continue it. But what is important is that we are open to God opening up new forms of ministry. What is important is that we allow God to be creative amongst us and challenge us to do new things and different things, not because just they're new and different, but because if God is calling us to do them, he will have a purpose in them. The breaking of boundaries. Be prepared to work beyond the normal activities and ministries of your church. Two thoughts to go. Is the person next to you still awake? Yeah, good stuff. Heading 6, the priority of proclamation. Verse 5. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. In all of our ministry, in some form or another, we need to be proclaimers of the word of God, proclaimers of the scripture, proclaimers of the gospel, proclaimers of Jesus the Christ, the word of God. Very, very important. And if you look through the subsequent work of Paul and Barnabas, this proclamation sometimes comes in word. It sometimes comes in deed. And wherever it comes, it is appropriate to the needs of the situation. He speaks differently to the Greeks in the agora, the marketplace in Athens, as he does to the Jews who understand the scriptures in the synagogues of the towns that he visits. It's a different strategy. Sometimes it is just by doing things. Sometimes it is by proclaiming words. However we do it, we need to be proclaimers of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And in fact, we are proclaimers anyway. We who are Christians, We who are known as Christians will be looked at and people will observe us. And I hope they say, there's something different about them. They have something. There is something peaceable, something satisfying. They seem to have a focus on life. There is something about them that is different. I hope that is true. Because if they look at us and think, they might be okay for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, but through the rest of the week, wow, you should see how they live. Then we're also proclaiming, but we're proclaiming a wrong message. Let's make sure we proclaim a message that fully integrates with the faith that we profess, the priority of proclamation. My final thought, you might be pleased to know. Number seven, outward looking and outward going. If you look at the passage as a whole, these two things hit me strongly. That the church in Antioch is not just looking in at the church in Antioch. It is looking out beyond its boundaries. Not only is it looking out beyond its boundaries, but it's outward going. It is sending its leaders out beyond its boundaries. And I think in this day and age, and certainly I don't know whether this applies in Australia, but in England, we are getting less and less people who are willing to come to church. 50 years ago, we had a much more church-attending population than we have now. And in the situation we're in, we need to be welcoming and wise as to how we organize church so that people find it a good and helpful experience. But we also need to be people who are going out to where folks are. At the very heart of our faith is the incarnation. God is in Christ, came to earth and lived amongst us, got his hands dirty and nailed amongst us. God invaded sinful, fallen world to bring something of the salvation message to us. Now, if we are followers of Jesus, that principle is important. That we don't just stand in the safety and security of our buildings and wait for people to come in. But we, as followers of Jesus, for whom the incarnation is fundamental, are people of the incarnation in the world in which we live. That we invade that wider world. For me, part of that world is the world of sport, but it might be the world of education, the world of politics, the world of finance, of banking, of commerce, the world of community, the world of social services, the world of health and medicine and media and the arts. The world needs Christians bringing the message of Jesus. The world needs you and I doing an incarnation job out there. If we are to be followers of Jesus, then we need to be going out into that wider world. And here you see it in Acts 13. Ministry into that wider world. A church that is outward looking and outward going. And that is here to teach us a lesson, a principle. So let's go for it and let's do it. Let's pray. Father, in these few verses, we see so much that would motivate us for mission. And I pray for these folks that in all the words that I've shared in this short spell, that something may hit home, that something of your word to these people and to this church might encourage them and help them to serve you more fully in the days that are ahead. And I pray, Lord, that your gracious blessing would be upon them, that this place would be a mission center in many, many ways, a place where people can come in and hear the news of Jesus and find in him a savior for eternity. And I pray that it will be a place from whom people go to take the message of the gospel of Christ to the needy of this community and beyond, that the world may know that Jesus is the Lord. May it be so, and may you bless the work and leadership of these people. We pray in Christ's name.